Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced 98 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. The cases confirmed as of Saturday night were spread across 19 communities, including 55 in Anchorage, 7 in Fairbanks, and 1 each in Delta Junction, North Pole, and the Yukon-Koyukuk census area. There were also 2 new non-resident cases announced, one of which was in the Fairbanks North Star borough. The Department of Health and Social Services did not report any new deaths yesterday, but Alaska did see its 26th COVID-19 fatality over the weekend, an Anchorage man in his 60s with underlying health conditions. 41 people are currently hospitalized statewide with either confirmed or suspected COVID-19 virus infections. The pandemic-long tally of Alaska resident cases is up to 3,711. There have also been 762 non-resident cases to date. The Trump administration continues to target the U.S. Postal Service for cuts. Alaska Public Media reports that the president's newly appointed Postmaster General intends to cut overtime pay for postal workers, adding more concern about an institution vital to Alaska. The U.S. Senate's latest coronavirus relief proposal has no funds for the Postal Service. Alaska senators have added their names to a separate bill, the Postal Service Emergency Assistance Act, which would establish a $25 billion fund. Senator Lisa Murkowski says it also frees up other money intended to help the service cope with the added expenses of the COVID-19 pandemic.
So that you can receive your mail or your prescription drugs if you are ordering by mail. Bypass mail, these are all key for us in this state. So it's a priority, certainly. With the Alaska delegation.
I agree 100%. This shouldn't be politicized.
Alaska's other U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan joined Murkowski and 15 other senators as co-sponsors of the Postal Service Emergency Assistance Act. Anchorage, Matsu, Kenai Area National Association of Letter Carriers local branch president Jim Raymond says he was buoyed when the House passed the HEROES Act, a coronavirus bill with help for the USPS, but then he saw the Senate's version.
When the bill came out, it was clearly indicative of the continued White House pressure not to provide any funding for the Postal Service.
But Raymond says the standalone Senate Postal Emergency Bill fills the need, and he says it's not bogged down by larger controversies over aid to states and pandemic unemployment benefits. Federal investigators say the pilot of an air tanker that crashed near Circle last month tried to regain control of the plane before it hit a stand of trees and landed in a marsh. The pilot's account is included in a report issued Friday by the National Transportation Safety Board. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The NTSB's preliminary report on the July 11th accident confirms initial accounts that the pilot of the air tanker ran into a problem as he was trying to scoop up a load of water to drop on a nearby wildfire. The pilot said he was skimming a lake near the Birch Creek fire, loading up his 28th scoop of the day, when the aircraft veered sharply to the right. The report says the pilot stopped scooping water and applied his left rudder in an effort to regain control. When that didn't work, he throttled down and applied reverse thrust just as the aircraft began to hit trees along the shore of the lake. The plane came to a rest, right side up, in a marshy area near the shoreline, and the pilot escaped injury. The report says the right wing of the single-engine air tractor Fire Boss was badly damaged. The plane is owned by a Minnesota-based company and leased to the Alaska Fire Service. NTSB's Alaska Region Chief Clint Johnson says the aircraft's been loaded onto a truck and is on its way to a facility in Texas where the agency's experts will take a close look at it. He says, among other things, they'll check the system that indicates there's a problem when the plane is scooping water.
Our plan is to get our engineers or our investigators, once it gets to Texas, to go through that system and see if we could see if anything went wrong with the system.
Johnson says the NTSB also will take into account other factors like the weather and the disposition of the pilot.
How long the pilot's been flying that day, how long he was on duty. Nothing to lead us to believe that there were fatigue issues, but we're going to make absolutely sure.
Johnson says he expects NTSB to issue a final report on the accident by next summer. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
The fall 40-mile caribou hunt is underway with an increased harvest limit. The State Department of Fish and Game boosted the Alaska resident bag limit from 1 to 2 caribou, which can be either bulls or cows in all zones of the popular registration hunt.
I feel the best management strategy is to reduce the herd through harvest to a low enough density to allow for nutrition to improve in the herd in hopes of slowing or even arresting the decline.
The state fall 40-mile hunt harvest quota is 5,000 animals, including 3,000 in zones 1 and 4 along the Steese Highway and Chena Hot Springs Road, 1,700 in zone 3 off the Taylor Highway, and up to 300 in the roadless zone 2 area. Areas of the 40-mile herd range were subject to more than a decade of predator control efforts, and Gross says although locally successful, numerous factors are at play in the herd's 30,000 square mile range.
We were able to affect part of the predator population in a small portion of its range, but certainly predator densities in other portions of its range, weather and other environmental factors all play a factor in a herd's trajectory.
Gross says the state will let the caribou determine when their density is correct.
And we're going to do that by monitoring their body condition and other nutritional indices.
Gross says poor weather again prevented an aerial photo census of the herd this summer, but that it's likely declined 20-30% from its 80,000 animal high in 2017. Hundreds of hunters gathered over the weekend along the Steese Highway in the 12 Mile and Eagle Summit area in anticipation of the start of the hunt today. Traffic is flowing again on Spangler Road near Delta Junction after the State Department of Transportation repaired washed-out side roads damaged by the flooding Delta River earlier this summer.
Our crews reestablished the access roads, and now they're acting as a dike, so the Delta River is kind of pushed back to where it was before.
Northern Region DOT spokesperson Caitlin Fry says Spangler Road reopened last week, nearly a month after the Delta River jumped its banks and cut off access to about a dozen homes near Big Delta, about 5 miles north of Delta Junction.
We did have to do some minor repairs on the road, but it wasn't bad. Our crew graded the road and did some embankment repairs.
Fry says the state is looking at what can be done to alleviate impacts of occasional Delta River flooding long term. Spangler Road is a renamed stretch of the old Richardson Highway that runs from Delta Junction to Big Delta. The future is uncertain for many employees of Anchorage CBS TV affiliate KTVA after the television station's owner, telecommunications company GCI, recently announced that it's getting out of the broadcast television business. GCI has sold most of KTVA's assets to Atlanta-based Gray Television, which already owns KTVA's main local competitor, NBC affiliate KTUU, the top station in the market. Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove reports.
Having one company own the first and second-ranked stations in the same market is allowed under a special exemption by the Federal Communications Commission after GCI was unable to find another buyer. The deal comes just 7 years after GCI bought KTVA, spent tens of millions of dollars to compete with KTUU, and made only slight gains in viewership.
You know, the world looks different than it did in 2013 in terms of the broadcast TV business.
That's GCI lawyer Becky Wint Pearson speaking on behalf of the company.
That means that for us, it's time to step out.
Wint Pearson says the unanticipated changes over that time period, all of which meant less revenue for GCI, included advertisers shifting toward digital advertising, an economic recession in Alaska, and increased network affiliate fees that caused GCI to have to pay more for CBS's programming. Wint Pearson says about 60 KTVA news and broadcast employees have been asked to apply for jobs with KTUU. Gray Television Executive Vice President Kevin Latex says Gray will hire some, but not all of those employees.
That report from Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove. I'm Dan Bross.